chivalrous. He's nice. And he won't say it twice.
Oh, sorry. This was about me. Sorry.
This is the Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980.
All right. Welcome back to the program. We are doing a very exciting segment right now. We have two wonderful guests in studio. Joining me, I have Raheel Raza. She's the president of the Council of Muslims Facing Tomorrow. And Salim Mansour, who's not only a candidate in the election in London North Centre for the Freedom Party, but also the vice president of the Council of Muslims Facing Tomorrow. So both of you, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. I greatly appreciate having you here in studio.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Andrew.
And the reason you are here is because there's going to be a film screening tonight at the Wolf Performance Hall at the London Public Library Central Branch, 6:30 p.m. The movie is Honor Diaries. Now, Raheel, tell me a little bit about your involvement in this movie.
Well, not only is Muslims Facing Tomorrow a partner in the production of this film, but I have also participated in it because this is a documentary about nine women activists who are speaking out about abuse against women in Muslim majority societies. Now, when this documentary was made about a year ago, Boko Haram was not on the horizon. It was, but the girls had not been abducted. And this is such a reality in our face right now because 2 days ago in Pakistan, there was a horrific honor killing of a 23-year-old woman who was stoned in front of a courthouse. So these are the realities that are taking place on the ground, but unfortunately not enough people are talking about it. So Honor Diaries breaks the barriers of silence and speaks out not only about the problems, but also brings about calls to action and tells people how they can do something to bring back the lives of these women or make the lives of these women better.
Is the problem the countries where this happens, or is the problem Islam? Or is there not a simple problem that you can identify?
It's a little bit of both, because the people in Muslim-majority societies who are perpetuating these crimes against women are using Islam to justify it. So definitely it is a combination of both. There are obviously some loopholes in interpretations of the Quran that people are misusing that have to be reformed, that have to be reinterpreted. And we know very clearly from, for example, the Boko Haram kidnapping, that the head of the Boko Haram justifies what he has done through faith, and his faith is Islam. So Muslim communities have to face the reality. They have to ask some hard questions. And Honor Diaries, although it is not a film about faith or culture or color or creed, it's a film about human rights. But when human rights are being trampled, we must speak out.
What's your motivation, Salim, for speaking out?
Well, I mean, you posed the question, is it about Islam or is it about Muslim societies, you know? And if I put on my academic hat over here, it is all, you know, twined together. There's a historical perspective. As I said to my students, Andrew, savagery is not a monopoly of any one people. Savagery has been there throughout history. You know, my parents' generation faced the savagery. That's your parents and grandparents faced the savagery of, for instance, Germany, a civilization that fell back, savagery, right? We are witnessing in our real time, 24/7, what is happening in the Muslim world is turned savage. And we have a responsibility to speak out. So my interest is, you know, to be part of that discussion, to be a voice of that discussion. And let me take another 30 seconds over here. You know, the most important voices for change, for progress, for emancipation, for liberty, for respect and dignity, is the voice of Muslim women. Because they, for them, this is not an academic subject. This is not something theoretical. This is immediate, daily, the pressures they're under in, the indignities they're under in, you know. And so when voices like Raheel come out, when voices of the nine featured women come out, when voices of Ayan Hirsi Ali comes out, it is the responsibility of anybody who stands for freedom anywhere in the world. You know, I mean, remember the line from John Donne, no man is an island unto himself, you know. don't ask for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. We have to stand for the people, and this is the voice of the movement. That's why I am there.
Well, and the film has quite an impressive roster of women. I mean, Ayaan Hirsi Ali, you mentioned, obviously, Raheel, I know a doctor, Kanta Ahmed, and also one the Canadians are no doubt familiar with, Nazneen Afshin Jam, the Peter McKay's wife. For you as a Muslim woman, Raheel, how has it been for you getting other people to pay attention to this issue within the Muslim community?
It has been incredibly powerful. You know, I have been an activist for human rights and specifically for Muslim women's rights for my entire adult life. And it is a very lonely journey being an activist, because you get a lot of very negative flashback as well. And when this documentary was in its initial stages, and we were talking about the women coming together, it was such a powerful experience just being there. We met, we did not know each other before, but we bonded because we had a common cause. And that common cause is the rights of our sisters. Now, it's interesting to note that not all the women in that group are Muslim. You know, there is a Christian woman, there is a Sikh woman, because honor killings take place in the Sikh community as well. And so we came together, as I said, beyond culture, beyond religion, to talk about the rights of our sisters. And that is my concern for the future generations. If we don't talk about it now, it will continue to grow, as it has grown in the last 20 years. You know, these were things that people talked about that were happening out there somewhere. You know, they were happening in some place that Canadians or Americans were not aware of. But now it's happening right here. It's happening in USA. In Canada, there have been 22 honor killings since 1999. We know about the Shafia trial. We know about Aksar Parvez. But these are only the reported ones. There are many that happen under the cover. There is a lot of female genital mutilation that's taking place, but it's not recorded. It's not in the media. And of course, I understand that these are not happy, fuzzy issues to talk about, but they're real and they are happening and they're taking place. We have to be aware of it, and we have to create this awareness in the larger community so everyone can stand up and say, this is inhumane. It cannot continue.
Well, and I wanted to ask you, Salim, obviously the screening tonight where people will have the opportunity, anyone in London can come, it's $10 to see Honor Diaries. What to you is the advantage of non-Muslims or people who are not from a community that has a problem with this? What's the benefit for those people seeing this?
Well, put it in benefit term, what is the benefit of learning and understanding the world that we are living in? I got a Facebook letter the other day from a woman about Honor Diaries, and she was asking me whether she could bring her 10-year-old daughter. And then we had a good conversation about it. And this woman said, no, she had taken her 10-year-old daughter to the trial of Victoria Stafford. Remember that case?
Yes.
The little girl
yes.
that was murdered. And she told me that, you know, she had taken, because she wanted her girl to know what world she's stepping into, what is happening around the world. So she took her daughter, a 10-year-old daughter. So I said, you know, come along. That's what it is. This is our world. This is not something, you know, distant. You know, the idea that, you know, it is happening there, a continent away, an ocean away, true, but it's also happening right here. We got to know. But I want to add something else over here. We talk about, and here again I'm putting on my academic, we talk about Universal Declaration of Human Rights. We talk about Charter of Rights and Freedom. Well, we can put them as abstract words, you know, and worship it. But what does it mean in real term? In real term, the story is about 50% of the population of the Muslim world struggling to gain dignity, which is enshrined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which is enshrined in our Charter of Human Rights. What is the responsibility of our government?
And
why aren't they speaking out?
And that is something that I found very interesting when we look at Boko Haram, is that it's actually, I think, shining a light in the global community that hasn't always been there in the past, or certainly has been intermittent in terms of when people are paying attention. The one question I would ask you, Raheel, is looking at this movie, there's a lot of people, not just the film, but the issue itself, who have looked upon this and tried to turn it into racism, or said this is racist, or this is Islamophobic, or this is all of these isms. Yes. How do you respond to that? Because hearing you talk and reading about this and seeing other interviews, this is not anti anything. It's pro human rights.
It's absolutely. You've actually answered your own question. But this is it. I would say to those people who are detractors of this film that this could be your sister, it could be your daughter, it could be your mother, it could be a woman that you know. How can anyone who upholds human rights and is a human being themselves not be brought to compassion when looking at this film? And it's not about any particular religion or culture. The word Islamophobia is used only as a deflection to shut people up. They don't want any criticism. And those who yell of Islamophobia with relation to Honor Diaries obviously don't care for the rights of women. And that is exactly what we are dealing with. So, you know, it goes full circle. They want to keep it quiet, sweep it under the carpet. If you don't talk about it, it's not happening. But the reality on the ground is that it is happening. And if we don't speak about it, then we're not being honest to ourselves or our sisters in this world. If we, you know, we all of us have a conscience as a human being. And my conscience tells me that I must speak out. And I think everybody else's conscience has to speak to them as well.
Well, certainly shouldn't. I know you have to leave, Raheel, but I'm so looking forward to hearing you speak and seeing the movie tonight at 6:30 p.m. at the Wolf Performance Hall. We're going to chat with Salim Ansar a little bit more after the break. But Raheel, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
We'll be right back on the Andrew Lawton Show. Stay with us.
Now, back to the Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980.
All right. Welcome back to the program. We are chatting in studio with Salim Mansour. He's wears many hats. Even earlier today, he was putting on the academic hat as we're talking about the event this evening of The Honor Diaries, a documentary about human rights being screened at Wolf Performance Hall. And I'll be emceeing. Raheel, who we just heard from, will be speaking. Christine Williams, TV personality, coming down as well. And there are a lot of different people here, a lot of moving parts to this, but it's going to be a great event tonight. Salim, one of the questions I have to ask you is that this event is not only co-sponsored by Muslims Facing Tomorrow, but also by the Freedom Party of Ontario, of which you are a candidate now, and you don't often hear honor killings mentioned as a provincial election issue. So why does the Freedom Party care about this?
Interesting, Andrew. I mean, just as you said, you know, there are many moving parts on this thing. To put this together took some time and effort, you know. I was involved right at the inception of the idea of bringing Honor Diary and to show it, given the amount of controversy it had caused in the United States with the universities, you know, pulling back from showing and so on and so forth. So it took time. And then, bang, came the writ on May the 7th. I mean, the whole movement was on to get this thing together. The writ fell on May 7th. And then people pulled me in, cajoled me, and I got into this, and so I became a candidate for London North Centre. So those are off, and the two things came together, coincided. People had gone to ask other parties, you know, in our group, the NDP, the Liberals, the PCs, whether they would come and share with us the platform, come and speak on this issue, because this is, as I said in your other segment, this is an issue in which we have to speak out. Well, it is not simply a matter of paying homage to Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Charter of Rights and Freedom. Charter of Rights and Freedom operates right here on the ground that you and I are walking here in London. So nobody came forward. And it just so happened by sheer coincidence that I was the LNC nominee for Freedom Party. So I turned around and I asked the leader of the Freedom Party, Paul McKeever, how about would they sponsor it? You know, Freedom Party is about freedom in the generic sense. Honor Diaries is about women struggling to be free people individually and as gender. And of course, Paul McKeever did not have a nanosecond of doubt about it. You know, freedom means to stand for freedom anywhere and everywhere, and our responsibility to support freedom wherever freedom is being the case for struggle to advance freedom. That's how Freedom Party became a co-sponsor of this event.
One of the things that I think is very fascinating about your own involvement in this and your own story is that you've obviously been a Muslim for your life, I'm assuming.
I was born a Muslim.
Born a Muslim, you are a Muslim, and you've seen within the community the debate and discussion on a variety of issues. How would you say the London Muslim community is on this issue, if at all?
I suppose the London Muslim community, as any segment of a population of the Muslim around the world, is as fragmented, fractured, and divided on this issue, you know. They haven't addressed this issue. They don't talk about this issue publicly. They haven't created any forum about it. So those people who would like to see this discussion take place, I think some of them will show up tonight. There will be others who will either be protesting against us or, you know, will be condemning us within their own circle that, you know, why are we taking this laundry? The classic thing, you know, why are you taking your dirty laundry into the public, you know?
Yeah, and one of the other things that's important to note is that a lot of, I know because I'm emceeing the event, so I've seen, you know, the rollout of it, is that every media outlet in London has been invited. We don't know, obviously, who's going to come, but everyone has been invited, and I think this is, as we were chatting about with Raheel a few moments ago, this is a human rights issue. I mean, this should not be something that is controversial, yet in a lot of ways it is.
Well, it's a long story, and maybe someday, you know, after all of this, we can come back and talk about it. It is what has happened to our society, to the West, to the culture of the West, to the political values of the West, that we have been surrendering our values under the name of multiculturalism, under the guise of being politically correct. And this is where it has come down to, that we are censoring ourselves from discussing those issues that are fundamental to what we as free people stand for.
And by the way, I just want to put this out there. If you have a question for Salim about this or a question for me, I promise you he's the one you want to ask, not me. But you can give me a call. The number is 519-643-2222 or 1-866-354-8255. Now, tell me a little bit about what the Council for Muslims Facing Tomorrow does.
Well, the Council for Muslims Facing Tomorrow was founded, created. Raheel Raza is one of the leaders and founding leaders, and I joined her, and there are a whole host of people now that have come forward, predominantly Muslim, of course, but there are a lot of support from other communities come forward. It is to talk about the problems facing the Muslim world. Here we are in Canada, in a free society. This is the only place, ironically, Andrew, in the Muslim world where we can sit and talk about the problem. Like, for instance, what Raheel is talking about, the problem of women. Muslim Facing Tomorrow, you can go into our website. It's very simple, muslimfacingtomorrow.com, and you can look at our vision statement. You can look at our mission statement. We want to tackle these problems through, you know, public forums, through education, discussion, just as what we are doing right now in the media. And we want to deal with those hard questions, and deal with those hard questions in this case as Canadians. We are Muslims, but we are Canadians. This is Canada.
Would this discussion be something that would be possible in a country like Brunei or a country like Pakistan?
Impossible. One word. Impossible. We, Raheel and I, would be stringed up in the town square and stripped.
Wow. So it's not even something that a lot of these countries that have a stake in this are even prepared to accept.
Precisely, and this is where the responsibility comes in. If you're talking about, I mean, you know, there have been governments in this country that sing the praises of the United Nations and how the United Nations make Canada the number one. But how is it that our government are not challenging these governments, you know, to live up to the responsibility of what they have signed up, you know, on becoming members of the United Nations?
So what would you like to see from Canada? What could Canada do that you feel would help or at least be a good step in the right direction?
Well, the Canadian government should be raising this issue in public forums, should be talking about this issue, should be inviting Muslim men and women in a free society like this to come and discuss this. Let me very quickly, we are running out of time, let give you a parallel example. During the Cold War years in the Soviet Union, where the people were being muzzled, you know, where the people were sent to Gulag, when Nobel Prize winners like Boris Pasternak were deprived of their citizenship, what happened? Silence prevailed all across. But then the governments, the free governments of the Western powers, the NATO countries, brought forward the Helsinki Declaration and said that we will have no trade with you, no favorable status with you, that is with the communist countries, unless you begin to respect the free rights of your citizen.
And it's like that old Edmund Burke quote, all that is required for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing.
Precisely. Our government have the strength if only they will exercise those strength.
All right, we have a couple of calls on hold here. I'm going to start off with Anne. Anne, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I totally commend the Freedom Party for this event. I think it's terrific. Unfortunately, I won't be able to go. But I asked, I called to ask Salim in particular, why are these political parties ignoring this? This is fundamental rights of women in this country. And to have none of these parties even bother to respond is shameful.
That's a good question, Anne. Anne, I'll put that to Salim. Salim, why is no one else talking about this?
Anne, that's an excellent question. And the answer is not an answer of a quantum physicist. It's very simple. Political parties, especially the mainline political parties, the Liberals, the PCs, and the NDPs, they're scrounging for votes from the community. These communities have been turned into vote banks, and they don't want to fragment their votes, you know. So they're going to the mosque, and they're talking to the religious leaders of the mosque, you know. They put on all the garments to go inside those mosques. They go inside the temple, they go inside the Sikh gurdwaras, you know. And they get their instruction, their marching orders. And that's what it is all about. We are in that process destroying our own democracy.
All right. On that note, Salim, unfortunately, we are out of time, but I'm so very, very much looking forward to seeing you at the event this evening, 6:30 p.m. at the Wolf Performance Hall, the screening of The Honor Diaries, followed by a panel discussion. Admission is $10. Salim, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. All right. We have to take a quick break here for news. When we come back, more of Canada's most irreverent talk show. This is the Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980. Stay with us.